Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I have read to you the first Psalm. The Bible repeatedly emphasizes that the rule and the standard by which our thoughts and actions are guided and governed is of utmost importance to us, not only for this life here on earth, but for the determination of our eternal destiny. The right rule chosen and the right rule followed will produce eternal life with God. The wrong rules chosen and followed will spell spiritual death and destruction from the presence of God. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. The first Psalm addresses this matter of standards and rules that people follow. The state of a godly man is described as being blessed. Now this word means happiness, but more than the happiness which can be produced by temporary good fortune, more than what environmental betterments can give. It is not a happiness that fluctuates according to the ups and downs that characterize so much of this life. Rather, it is an inward peace and a contentment. It is a stability and security that comes from the satisfaction and assurance from the Word of God that one is right with God. It does not mean that one may be well off materially in this world, prospering and healthy and everything going well. That kind of happiness can be destroyed with adversity, or with disease, or things not going so well. The blessedness that belongs to the godly man is a spiritual well-being because he is well off with God. Four qualities of this blessed man are listed here, three of which are negative in nature, and the fourth positive. First, this godly man walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This means he does not follow the advice and guidance of those who are ungodly. The ungodly person has no fear and respect for God and his will. They have no settled aim. They have no certain road. They have no real purpose. He goes wherever his lust and desires of the moment may take him. Godly people ought not seek advice and counsel from such people because their instructions will lead a person astray. For instance, why should those who love God seek the guidance of movie stars and divorced people and the free love advocates on how to have a righteous home and marriage? Those who live and strive on degeneracy and sin, they have nothing to offer the person who puts his trust in God. It is good to seek advice, but we must be careful from whom we seek advice and measure that advice that we receive by the will of God. The godly man shuts out those who are ungodly. He will not listen to their directions. Why turn to false teachers and to those whose ways lead us deeper and deeper into the paths of sinfulness? But second, the godly man will not stand in the way of sinners. Now this does not mean he will not oppose the way of sinners, because he will. It means he will not travel the sinful path with the sinners. He's careful as to his companions and friends and associates. To sin is to transgress the law of God, 1 John 3 and verse 4. And such a course is the wrong course. The godly man will maintain contact with sinners only to the extent that he can influence them away from sin, like Christ did. He will associate with sinners, not to partake of their wicked ways or to enjoy their approval, but to show them the more excellent way, if he can. And when he is prohibited from doing that, he avoids the evil and evil companionships. Third, he will not sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful refers to those who mock and ridicule God and his ways. Oh, it's wicked enough to be ungodly and a sinner, but the scorner has gone to the disastrous degree of hardcore rebellion against the Almighty. Scorning God is no less damaging in David's day than it is in our own. Many blatantly and defiantly scorn God's word. They abuse it, they misuse it, they ignore it, they scoff at it. And there are examples of sin in our society all around us. Some even try to use the teaching of the Bible to destroy the integrity and the validity of the Bible. Many wrest the scriptures to defend practices of sin and to promote false doctrines. Some even try to cite scripture in order to silence the scripture. Others would reduce every Bible teaching to something other than what it is. Some scorners even pretend to have a love and allegiance for the scriptures, but they show themselves to be scorners when the scriptures lead a direction other than what they want, or what they prefer, or what their particular denomination might hold. On every side, there is the glorification and exaltation of the infidel and the skeptic. Sin is glamorized. The denial of faith is called intellectual. Faith is ridiculed as superstition. And articles and books and television programs are pouring forth with vile and vulgar productions designed and intended to pervert the truth, to destroy the truth, to lead people away from the truth by holding up the truth for ridicule and scoffing. There are those that openly and without shame sneer at things that are holy and sacred and eternal. It is obvious that such people have given themselves over to help the devil tighten his damning grip over the hearts of many. But the blessed and godly man will not be one of these. He will not be found and listed in their number, because he loves truth and believes truth. He will not allow himself to be identified among such servants of Satan. And while he lives in the world, a world that's hostile to his basic convictions regarding God's truth, yet he will not be swerved nor turned from the truth, because the truth is right, and his convictions are founded upon the rock of God's word. Scorning and sneering, mocking and ridiculing, that's the only weapon some have to oppose the will of God, because they can't meet it through reason. They can't meet it through truth, or through logic, or through investigation, or any other avenue of evidence. But fourth, the positive quality of the godly man is that he lets the Word of God be the rule and guide for his life. God's way is more than just a pleasure for him. It delights his heart and his life. God's law regulates and it demands. There is a yoke and a burden involved in keeping that law, to be sure. But even though the path of least resistance might be to conform to the world, the godly man rejoices in the law of God, for it is good. From both revelation and our experience in life as a follower of God, he knows that he is not able to direct his own steps. So he follows divine guidance that's given through the Word. He makes application of it in his life. He keeps himself under constant self-examination, asking what is expected of me, listening to the preventive instructions and bowing to the corrective measures, making all decisions in the light of God's law. It is a constant matter with him. Day and night, he meditates upon that law. He thinks and he acts accordingly. In verse 3, this blessed and godly man is compared to a planted tree. Not a wild tree that just happened by chance to be where it was intended. One with a purpose, and one with a role to fill. He is a planted tree. He is something especially admirable. He is stationed near the source of nourishment so that he might gain strength therefrom, and he produces fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit to which Paul refers in Galatians 5. Within his heart there is joy and peace, and love, kindness and long-suffering, mercy and gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You see, what he does is in harmony with God's law for prosperity. He grows spiritually. He's like a leaf that does not wither. There is constant life within him. He enjoys real and true prosperity. And this blessed and godly man is also compared with the ungodly. The ungodly delude and deceive themselves with a pseudo-happiness and temporal pleasures, turning away from the things that are eternally good. They are concerned only about their good times and only focusing upon the here and now. The ungodly seek and follow the evil counsel. They go the way of sinners. They stand alongside in agreement with the scoffer and the scorner who hold God's law up for contempt. But they are like chaff, not wheat. They are only fit for destruction like dust and dirt. Their destiny is that they shall be blown away from the blessings of God. They shall suffer in the judgment. They shall not stand. And when it says they shall not stand, this does not mean that they will not be there, for they will. It means that they shall know no success but spiritual failure and doom. They will be separated as chaff is from the wheat. The godly wheat shall be preserved while the evil chaff shall be burned. And this dramatic separation is powerfully taught in Matthew 25, when Jesus talks about the separation of the sheep and the goats. Yes, there are two ways for you and me to follow. The one is the law of God. The other is the way of the devil. At the conclusion of these two ways are two distinct destinies. Following the way of God is heaven. Following the way of the devil is hell. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. He has provided the way for the righteous to go. He has decided and has announced the joyful eternity that belongs to those who follow His word. But the Lord also knows the way of the ungodly, and that those who are ungodly shall perish in eternal punishment with the devil and his angels. How much our land, how much each individual needs to set their paths straight. Can there be any doubt which we ought to pursue? When such revelation is given us from God, it makes one wonder why anyone would seek the way that is sure to fail. The reason people go the way of the devil is because they have no respect for God and His word. They give no heed to His warnings, and they reject His precious promises and offers that He offers to bless us. But which way will it be for me or for you? You see, it is left to each one to make an individual resolve. We plead with you to be among those that God would call blessed. We plead on the behalf of God's way for all. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.